Small and family-run businesses tend to be founded and led by hands-on CEOs. So if that CEO dies suddenly, there's a huge impact often on the company, not just personal, but on the business, its employees and customers. Francesco Carrico from Macquarie University joins us this morning to share recent findings about how a business can best be ready to handle the possible death of their leader. Francesco, thank you for joining me this morning. How are you?
Thank you for inviting here, actually. I'm happy to be here.
Not at all. Happy to have you on. So the phrase business success and planning is rather dry for what is obviously a very emotional situation for anyone. So why is it so important for businesses, including smaller ones, to be pragmatic and prepared?
Well, actually, it's very important for family business, especially a small organization, because they are very emotional, exactly what you said. And planning succession becomes quite key. Think about even Australia, which family firms are the backbone of the Australian economy, representing 70% of all Australian businesses. But still, succession is a big issue. Only 30% of family firms reach the second generation, only 12% the third generation, and 3-5% beyond that. So it's a big problem. It's something to solve and to keep an eye on, especially for the economy of any country, including Australia. In this study, we actually look at an extreme situation. We look at a situation in which there is a sudden death of the main owner, CEO of the company. And saying what happens next, well, things can get very messy. So if you don't have a good succession plan in place. So what we found basically is that once this happens, the financial health of the company, what we call financial distress, which is the likelihood of a company going bankrupt, if it goes up. So the company is doing quite badly. So the solution, what is? The solution is to look who is the next person in line, who is the next CEO. Choosing the right person becomes quite key. And what we found is that if you think about the short term, even a non-family success or someone that is not related with the person that passed away might be better because they are more focused. But if you can think of the long term of the company, and so taking most wider decision, the best person usually needs to be a family member who can bring more commitment, continuity, deeper stakeholder trust. So the conclusion is choose a family member, but someone that has also been working the company long enough to know well the company. It's not only about who you choose, but how well the next person in line know the firm and how well the other people around the stakeholder know the person that is taking over.
So if you're looking at some real world case studies of businesses that lost their CEO and had to keep things going, what are some things that they did well and some not so well?
Well, there are situations, there are examples of companies that didn't do well in the sense that they didn't plan and so things went quite badly later on. I have a case of a company, actually an Australian one, the complete office supplies. I'm not sure if you're aware of this company. It's quite a large company, probably the largest family-owned operated office educational supplies in Australia. And the CEO of this company, the chairman of this company, actually, last year, suddenly died, unfortunately, Dominic Leone, a great entrepreneur, a great person that I know him well. But he was wise enough. I recall I had a discussion with him even before, a few years before, he basically passed the company to his two daughters, Emily and Melinda, that became co-CEOs. And so when this happened, this event last year happened that Dominic died, of course it was a very sad moment and the emotion is still there. And that's not easy to pass on. But still, the company is doing very well. The two CEO are doing great. And this is because things have been planned in terms of succession on time, as it should be usually.
And with family-run business, on the other hand, there are some extra unique challenges, but also advantages when it comes to a succession plan, right?
Well, yeah, the advantage might be the fact that it's a family, right? The family is very united. The family are a great organization. The family is a great group of individuals that when you put in the business in the right way, can do fantastic things. So the fact that they know very well each other, it's a family, is a way through which they can pass any problem, issue. Indeed, family firms are recognized to be very resilient, to be very persistent. They are the one that is best during the COVID pandemic, for instance. And there are good reasons for that. And so once this communication is going on, and once there is this plan in place, then things go smoothly over time. But sometimes things can go wrong. So that's why that's very important, the planning side, you know? And so start very early, even if the topic can be uncomfortable about succession. We always say involve those external people, board advisors. Independent guidance can also help. Consider who is going to be the best successor, or who are the ones that you want to put more in the management side, as CEO, CFO, etc., or in the ownership side, or both, and document key knowledge. Make sure that the knowledge is lost with the previous generation, whether it's a sudden death or whether it's just the previous generation just leaving the company to the next one.
And so I guess to sum it all up, for small businesses, or people listening who have small businesses, what have you found that small business owners should think about to set up a good succession plan in the case of a sudden death or a retirement?
Say again, I'm sorry?
Just to sum it all up, what are some good planning points that small business owners should think about when setting up a good succession plan?
Well, it's think ahead carefully. Not just as a family, but as a family business per se, being able to bring external talent when it's needed. Avoid the issue of nepotism, in which you want to just keep everything in the family at all costs. Sometimes it's not possible. So sometimes can be also a good solution when at all I work as an advisor to give the ownership to the company and then to the next generation, but then appoint a non-family CEO sometimes when things do not work very well within the family. Or if everything is working well, the family, as I said, can be very powerful, but need to be supervised over time. As a matter of fact, family organizations are very powerful, but they tend to, let's say, exit. Exit can be failure, can be selling, can be an acquisition, during, after the third generation. And this because there are many family members involved, and things get simply too much complicated, you know? It's like a family. It's different if I just think about a family with me, my wife, my children, but if I bring in also cousins, if I bring also some external extended family, things get more complicated, and then some help from external help might be the way to go.
Wonderful. Well, that's all very insightful stuff there, Francesco. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks a lot.
That was Francesco Carrico, Professor of Strategy and Family Business in the Department of Management and Co-Director of the Macquarie University Innovation, Strategy and Entrepreneurship Research Centre, talking to us about what to do to keep a business afloat if the CEO dies.